Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 65th lecture on Genesis. I explained the first half of Genesis chapter 2, 19 in the last lecture. God didn't form any of the animals one by one from the dust of the ground except for man. God also formed animals from the dust, but He formed them from the dust and commanded them with the words. And it was a different way from the when He formed a human. He did not create all those animals one by one like Adam. As God commanded with His word, each creature was created from the mixture of the ground and the water according to its blueprints. Let's continue on now with Genesis chapter 2, 19 to 20. It says, "And God brought them to man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field." Those of you who have children, how long did it take for you to name your children? You may have given a serious thought to make them good names. Some people go to the naming shop or fortune tellers to name their children, or the child's grandfather may name him. But this behavior is from non-Christians or those who people don't believe in God. So usually their grandfather may name him. However, Genesis chapter 2, 19 says, "Whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name." You may think that he could have called them just any names. Why was it so difficult? If you are one who thinks like this, just go to the zoo and try to give new names to all animals. You see the zoo, and you must remember all their names too. In the end, it would not be an easy job. But Adam gave names to all animals, more than a million animals. Those names were also not duplicated, and Adam remembered all their names. It was possible only because he received outstanding knowledge and wisdom from Father God. Adam didn't become wise on his own accord. God gave Adam the power and authority, and this power and authority also contained the wisdom and the knowledge. Adam didn't just name each of the animals from whatever idea that happened to come to him. He knew the unique characteristics of each animal and named them accordingly. It was why he could remember all the names of the more than 1 million animals. Adam also knew how to communicate with animals. Adam didn't talk with animals in the same way that people communicated with one another. God gave Adam an ability to share feelings with them. For example, a trained dog can understand and obey the command of its master. A dog can guide a blind man, detect drugs, and locate the lost people in the disaster area. We also see dogs sniffing out criminals by their clothes or other items and finding them. Adam could communicate with the animals in much the same way, and he could exercise control over them. From this, we infer that the wisdom and knowledge of Adam far surpasses normal people. As God the Father watched Adam manage the job wisely, he was very satisfied. God was very pleased with the names of the animals given by Adam. Even though Adam could do it because God gave him wisdom and knowledge, still he was so pleased to see Adam manage his job well. Say you have a child and she's very wise and smart. She does things to your liking. How can she understand my hurts so completely and do her job so well? You would be quite proud of her, wouldn't you? Just watching such a child makes you feel full of joy and happiness. God the Father was pleased to see Adam obey his word. He was well satisfied with Adam's work. And so he loved Adam so much. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are children of God. John chapter 1, 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." We receive the authority to become the children of God the Father, Creator, who is Almighty. We are children of the Creator Almighty. Just as God gave wisdom and power to Adam, He also gives the wisdom and power of heaven to us. 2 Chronicles chapter 69 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to the and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. With all his their heart. And the James chapter 1, 5 says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God the Father wants his children of faith to seek for the wisdom and the power of heaven. However, only those who are counted worthy of the justice can receive the power and the wisdom of heaven. God works precisely by justice, so He works in accordance with the justice. In the spiritual world, power, that is ability, comes to those who have abandoned sin and become holy. In addition, James chapter 3, 17 says that people should be pure first to receive the wisdom from above. Of course, even before you are fully sanctified, if honestly asking for it, you can receive the power and the wisdom at the level of gifts described in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. However, the ability and the wisdom given as a gifts are inferior and imperfect. Since those sanctified don't have selfish motives or changing of a mind, they use the power and the wisdom from above only for the glory of God. And God the Father also knows this fact, and thus He can trust these sanctified children and give them this power and the wisdom. If you want to be used by God, you must be holy. This applies to both the salvation and the going to heaven. While being cultivated on this land, we must cast away even the form of the evil and enter into the holiness. So when a sanctified child asks for power and wisdom, God can give it to him. The reason God gave Adam great authority, power, and wisdom was also because Adam had no evil at all at the time. God the Father desires for children of faith to accomplish the heart that has no evil but has only goodness. He desires for them to ask courageously for the wisdom and the power of heaven. God the Father can respond to such children as if He had been waiting for them to ask. If you are not holy and want the power of ability of God, you should not pray for it. If you receive it at that state, you will become arrogant. Therefore, entering the spirit is the priority. Then you will be used preciously, and it will be your strength to save many souls. Also, receiving this power of God requires a great amount of the prayer. Prayer that is more intense and earnest than others. And also a fervent love for souls. And the faith to greatly build the kingdom of God. Also, God is truly pleased and delighted when His children use their wisdom and ability to do good work for the kingdom of God and bring glory to Him. Even though Adam had such a great power and wisdom, he was tempted by the Satan because he had no true sense of relativity. On the other hand, the children who have experienced relativity and become a whole spirits will not change no matter how much power they are given. Therefore, God the Father becomes more pleased when He receives the glory from His children who accomplished the heart of a whole spirit than when by Adam who lived in the Garden of Eden. I hope that you are able to understand this fact well. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let's take a look at the Genesis chapter 2, 21-22. It says, "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep at the fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into the woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man." God formed Adam from the clay, which is the mixture of water and the ground. And the woman was created from the rib, which was taken from Adam. Therefore, the basic constituents for women are also the ground and the water from the earth. Some people ask this question. Why is it in the Bible King David had multiple wives, Moses had two, Jacob had multiple wives, and Abraham had multiple wives? So why should women belong to only one man? I hope you listen carefully to what I say today and understand it. By the way, why did God cause the deep sleep to fall upon Adam when he took one of his ribs? It is like a surgery of a patients before an operating takes a place. Under anesthesia, pain cannot feel when skin or bones are cut. By the time that Adam was a living being, he had a body which originally consisted of the ground. He had a body like that which we now have, but since he was full of the breath of life, he didn't age. His body also had bones and skin as well as nerves. The blood also circulated his body. When he was injured, he would bleed and feel pain as well. However, it was extremely rare to encounter such as an accident in the Garden of Eden. Even if he were injured, he could quickly recover. The body of a living being can feel not only pain, but also the responses to other stimuli. In case of a woman, she can feel minimal pain when delivering a baby. Therefore, the Bible says the pain was greatly multiplied in the childbirth after Eve committed sin. It's not that people started to feel pain from the moment on. Being greatly multiplied implies that there was a pain in childbirth even before being cast out of the heaven. In other words, even before Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was a pain in childbirth. But after that, the pain increased. The pain is not so serious or extreme when bones and the skin are cut or injured. The body of the living beings can just sense the change of the body. When the pelvis opens, it's natural for the woman to feel that something is different, wouldn't it? But when they were living beings, the pain was just enough to feel the change in their body. If Adam had been awake when God took one of his ribs, Adam would have felt when his skin was cut and his rib was removed. He would have felt some pain, even if it was only a little bit. In fact, in this case, it may have been greater pain than a slight pain. To keep from causing Adam pain, God caused Adam to fall deeply asleep and then he took one of his ribs. Here is one more thing we should notice. There's a living being, Adam, fell asleep. The descendants of Adam's Garden of Eden also sleep just as a man on this earth do. They too rest as they sleep. Of course, they don't need to sleep for several hours every day as the people of the earth do. If they just sleep for a short period of time, it's a sufficient sleep and a rest. The people in the Garden of Eden don't need to work for their clothes, food, or housing, yet still they have their own job to do. They don't just eat and play all day long. They learn new knowledge and the skills and have their own work to do, be done. That's how they've developed their own civilization to this day. Therefore, from time to time, they take a rest or they fall asleep as well. Why did God take one of Adam's ribs among all the parts of his body to create a woman? The will of God is contained in it. In the structure of the human body, the ribs are located in the center of the body. They protect many important organs such as the heart, lungs, and the stomach. Even when the impact of the blow to the body has a lot of the force, the ribs help to cushion the impact. Even though the ribs are broken, other organs can be protected. Even if the ribs are broken by the strong impact, the organs are protected. The same goes for the bones surrounding the brain. They protect the brain from impact. However, too much impact can cause your head to crack or break. When God the Father created a man, He considered even these things in making His plan for him. The reason God created a woman with a rib from a man is because He wanted to show that the woman is as important as one of His ribs. A woman who is a helper, suitable for man, is an indispensable being to a man. And she plays an important role. Adam knew this will of God. So when he saw Eve, God created for him, he confessed in Genesis chapter 2, 23, "This is now bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh." Therefore, husbands, how should you treat your wives? You should love her and take care of her as if she were your body. To be more exact, you should treat your wives as if you dealt with the most important part of your body. Ephesians chapter 5, 28 says, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself." Since a woman was originally created for a man, for a husband, to love his wife is just as the same as he loves himself. How many people are there who abuse themselves, beat themselves, stab themselves with the needles, threat to cut themselves with a knife? Everyone loves themselves. You husbands should love your wives as you love your own body. If your body hurts, your wife will hurt more because she's a woman. You should never beat your wife and you should never oppress or persecute her. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, 25 says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ loved the church so much that he offered his own body as a sacrifice and shed his precious blood to purchase the church. That's why the church is precious and we are told not to joke around or do anything worldly in the church. The church is an altar built with the blood of the Lord. The Lord who has become the bridegroom for all of us sacrificed even his own life to save his wives. He loved us so much like that. The Bible tells a husband to learn this love of the Lord and to love their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of a life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." You should consider your wife precious. What I'm truly thankful for this, even before I did not accept God and did not know the truth, I cherished my wife. So I'm so thankful that I have never treated her rudely, never slapped her, never kicked her, never cursed at her, and never once asked for a divorce. But these days, couples often say they want to break up or get a divorce. Before marriage, the man loved his wife so much that he felt like he couldn't live without her, that he would die. So why did he change so much? The same goes for his wife. Please do not change your heart towards your wife and your husband. You husband must cherish your wife, so you must not break the peace nor fight or argue with her, but love and cherish her as your own body. If you do not do this, God will not listen to your prayers, husband. He will not listen to you. A wife is the most important being to the husband, and at the same time, she's more fragile than he. Therefore, when a husband loves his wife like his own body, God becomes pleased with him and gives answer to his prayer. Colossians chapter 3, 19 says, "Husband, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. If a husband thinks of their wives as a bone of his bone and the flesh of your flesh, how can they trouble their wives and hurt their hearts? They will not be rude to them and they will not get angry at them. They rather cover their wives' faults. They will seek benefits for their wives. They will bear all things, believe all things, hope for all things, and endure all things with their love for their wives." As God gave women to Adam, He wanted men and women to share spiritual love as a man and woman who are husband and wife. However, the spiritual love cannot be achieved only by the effort of the husband. Both the husband and wives should make an effort together. There are things that wives should do for their husband. God didn't create the woman from the separate ground. He created the woman from the body of a man. It implies that husband and wives are not separate, but they are united as one body. And it also implies that man takes the primary role and the woman the subordinate. In Genesis chapter 2, 23, as Adam looked at the woman whom God created from his rib, he says, "She shall be called the woman because she was taken out of a man." Woman was created from man, and it was also man Adam was called her woman. From this point, we can clearly see who is the first among men and women and who becomes the subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 7-9 says, "For man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of a man." For man does not originate from the woman, but woman from man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but woman for the man's sake. Therefore, the proper order can be set when women obey to men. In a family, it's right that wife should serve and respect her husband and that she should obey her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, 24 says, "But as the church is subject to Christ, also the wives ought to be to their husband in everything." Colossians chapter 3, 18 also says, "Wives, be subject to your husband as is fitting in the Lord." Of course, being subject is being subject in the Lord. It does mean that wife should obey even when husband tells her to do something against the truth. Yet still, wife should not apply the conditions of being subject in the Lord according to her own standard as she pleases. A wife should serve her husband according to his heart out of her love for her husband.
"남편의 마음에 맞춰 섬겨야 합니다."
then the husband can feel the sincere heart of his wife. He will not stand against her going to church, but eventually he will accept the gospel. If wife treated her husband with the goodness of a Mary Magdalene, no matter how hard his heart is, it will mostly be meltdown. In addition, if wife respect her husband's ideas and strongly support him, the order of the family will be set. The order of a family will be set right, then the husband will be increasingly strengthened and take a full responsibility as the head of the family all the better. On the other hand, if a wife stands against the husband all the time and causes him to lose strength because of her words and attitude, it's not easy for him to be supportive of the family as a husband and a head. Therefore, to make your family spiritual and happy and her goodness and her love, wives should first follow the order that God has set. As wives, you must understand the step in your heart. Who should be the subject and who should be the dependent in home? However, I also understand the women whose husband treat them unreasonably. They may complain and even feel disobedient. I hope that you can make yours a beautiful and happy family where the order is well established. In a church as well, there is order between men and women. In every matter is the church, not only fleshly order, but also the spiritual order should be properly set. When the fleshly and the spiritual orders are in good harmony, the works of the Lord can be beautifully accomplished. When each one serves and respects the other and obeys following the order, the kingdom of God can be securely established. However, God set up the order between men and women. God set man as the head. If both the men and women are holy and enter the spirits at the same time, it is good for a man to become the head. If you read the Bible, you can see all the prophets who manifested the power of God were all men. Of course, Deborah was a woman, but she was used as a judge, and Esther also saved her people from the crisis of their extermination. The first person to witness the resurrections of our Lord was the woman. When our Lord was crucified, those who followed him in sorrow were not his disciples, but women. The disciples were afraid and hid and ran away. Even today, if a woman has a righteousness of heart and is qualified for justice, she can receive the power and be of great use in the kingdom of God. Besides, there are things women should do and other things men should do. When men and women are equal in the Lord and the order of the men and women established by the God is followed within the church, the kingdom of God, the beautifully realized. Let me conclude, dear brothers and sisters. In this lecture, we looked at the sin where Adam gave names to all the animals with the wisdom God gave him. Also, through the providence of the creating the women, by taking a rib from man, we can understand the relationship and the order between men and women. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, 11 to 12 says, however, in the Lord, neither is a woman independent of the man, nor is man independent of the woman. For as the woman originated from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Like a woman comes from man. Woman was created from one ribs of a man. Just as God created Adam with the purpose, God surely created the woman with the purpose. The purpose of the God's creation becomes the reason of existence for creatures, whether it is man or man. It is men or women. All people have their own duty. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. If you are a son or daughter of God, you must keep His law as His children. Fear God and keep His commandments. Reject even the form of evil. Do what you are told to do. Don't do what you are told not to do. Abandon what you are told to abandon. This is the duty of a man. The original purpose of God's creation towards His children. I urge you to understand deeply in your hearts how the Creator becomes our Father God through the Genesis lecture. May you revere God from the depth of your hearts and become His true children who give God joy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.